As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Walker, rebound by Adams, his sixth. Morant, blows by Primo. Attack!
It is another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldrich here in D.C. in the Bay. We got brothers in the Bay this week. First of all, Marcus rocking the Poetic Justice t-shirt. All right, I'm not going front. I watched that movie a couple of times. I actually thought my man, what was my man, not Pac, was it Guy Torrey? Who was the other dude?
Joe Torrey.
Joe Torrey. I thought Joe Torrey was way better than Pac in that movie. Like, way better. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're wrong.
Why am I wrong?
I mean, one of them got to kiss Janet Jackson.
Well, I'm not saying. So, I'm talking about.
I'm
as
just
an
saying,
actor,
like,
as an actor.
You know, yeah, exactly.
You know who I thought was the best? Cousin Pete. Cousin Pete. Like, I believe that was him as a real person.
He wasn't acting.
Like, he played Cousin Pete real well.
Everybody, you know who's really good?
Everybody and got a Cousin Pete.
You know who's really good, and it's not surprising in hindsight, but at the time, Regina.
Yeah, well, of course. Honestly, of course.
She was great. She put on, she know how to throw on that ghetto, boy. You know what I'm saying?
My girl went up to Regina and went, I just lost my mind.
Punani.
I lost my mind.
You know, I met Regina King, and condolences to her, man.
Yeah, man, that's awful.
Her tragedy.
Yeah.
She was at, you'll like this, Marcus, the San Jose Juneteenth Festival. I was like in the like 7th, 8th grade or something like that. And she was working one of the booths. Like her family had like a soul food booth.
Oh, damn.
So I went up to the booth and I'm like, ain't you the girl from 227? She's like, I'm here for a couple weeks, you know, during the summer visiting family and stuff like that. And she goes, yeah, I don't like San Jose. It's kind of whack. I said, well, 227 is whack too. And I walked away.
Damn,
Mark didn't like her calling at the hometown.
Yeah, you know.
Why you go Regina King like that? That's cold blooded.
I don't know. That was seventh grade me, man. Damn. You know what I'm saying? I was
227.
You need to apologize.
They would have disrespected East Oakland.
How you even know what it is?
Next time you see her, you apologize to her for the disrespect.
No, I am. She's actually great friends with Kiki Vanderway's wife.
How did that happen?
I know it sounds like an odd couple, but they're like sisters.
Is that right?
Like, they're really close. She used to come to Denver Nuggets games.
Yeah. I did not know this at all. How did I not know this at all?
But they're really close. Yeah.
That's crazy odd right there.
That is very random. Yeah. That's Mark Spears, by the way. We haven't introduced you yet from The Undefeated from ESPN. You the man. You the man.
The streets know. Everybody know once he starts talking. Once they start talking.
Mark, you know, Mark, we got Mark because he's going on a trip tomorrow. Tell folks where you're going tomorrow. This is great. I love this.
I'm going to Senegal. I'm really, really excited about this. It's the second year of the Basketball Africa League. And they begin play on Saturday in Dakar, Senegal. They have 12 teams, six of which are going to go to Dakar. The other six will play preliminary games in Cairo, Egypt. And then the finals, which will be around the time of the NBA conference finals, will be in Rwanda. So I was actually supposed to go to the first year of it. And the president of the Basketball Africa League is somebody, I know, Amadou Fall, who
Eric
actually.
Gallo. That's our man.
We were teammates at the University of District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. And depending on who you talk to, you get different stories about who was better than who. But that's but no, I was supposed to go the first year. And if you guys remember, it was one of the first, I think it was the first sports league that got canceled due to the pandemic. It got canceled in like January of 2020.
Yeah, right.
And so I ended up, I had this plane ticket to go out there and it was supposed to start in Senegal as well. Got canceled. And now 2 years later, I'm getting out there. So I'm really, really excited to scary time to travel anywhere, right? Even scarier what's going on in Europe. But I'm super excited about this trip.
Well, as long as just be careful, man. You know, yeah. But it's a great opportunity. Gallo,
Africa might be one of the safer places to be
right now.
It's quiet as kept.
Yeah.
It's got to be second behind Oakland.
Yeah.
right in this room where I'm at right here. That's number one. Hey, out of curiosity, I've always wanted to know, because I haven't been, and I do plan on going, but what all do you have to do to prepare to go to another continent?
To Africa or to?
Yeah. Well, to Africa specifically, yeah.
It's
not the same for every continent.
Marcus,
right?
I went off to this spot on Hagenberger. To get all my shots next to Black Bear Diner. And
I know where that is. Yeah.
And so I had got shots 2 years ago to go to Africa and didn't go. So you talk about somebody vaccinated, it's me. I also got shots to go to India when I went to India.
But you did go to India, right?
Yeah, I did go to India. That was in 2019. And so I got to go to India. So man, these shots I got cost about $1,000, man. I got all kind of pills, all kinds of stuff.
Jeez. So is it all shots or shots and pills?
Both. A bunch of pills. And preventative pills just in case the bubbles come. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I got shots before we went to Rio for, what was it, Zika? Was it the Zika virus back then?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, but Nate.
No, I'm taking malaria pills starting tonight.
Yeah.
That you got to take after you get back. And
right.
This job, man, has blessed me with the ability to go all over the world.
Yeah.
Places I would never think I've seen, like China and Turkey, Bosnia, India. I went to Johannesburg, and for a black man to go to Africa, man, I highly recommend to anybody black, to anybody to go to Africa.
Right.
Especially maybe start off in Johannesburg and check it out. But it was certainly a mind trip to be in a country where everybody looks like you. The billboards got, like Marcus, you'll have this, the billboards have black people on it. Like all the billboards.
It sounded like Clark Atlanta to me.
Yeah. Dang, they got black people in the commercials. And
right?
That's like,
crazy. Yeah.
And it wasn't just hair stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't fat food.
What music, huh?
What lawyers and, hey, you want to see this lawyer, you know?
Right.
And so it was just beautiful and cool. And then you don't realize until you get there, like how huge that continent is.
Yeah.
Like when I went to South Africa, I flew 7 hours into Africa, had a layover in Rwanda, and then flew like another 7 hours to get to South Africa, to Johannesburg. So I laugh at them old globes that try to make Africa look small.
Oh, dude, it's so funny you mentioned that, because Nicole Hannah-Jones just tweeted this like yesterday or 2 days ago about all the maps of the world are wrong. you know what I mean?
It's a great episode on West Wing about this.
Yeah.
About this very thing.
They're all disproportionate because they were made by European people who didn't know when they came to the States, when it came to North America, in order to be able to kind of more accurately represent where they were going and marking the different places as they found, you know, as they went further west, they made North America bigger on the maps so that there'd be more room to show all the different places that they were inhabiting. And they made Africa much smaller than it actually is. They made Greenland huge. It's not that big. It's incredible. it's amazing. And it just goes back to kind of like, you know, whose history are you following? You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. It's just not, and I don't even think this is racism, but it is. But
now when you mentioned that Greenland part and all that, and then now I look at it a little differently because I kind of saw it from the other vantage point before.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, but no, I'm excited about the food. Well, that, and to finish answering your question, Marcus, like I was told, like, same thing when I went to China, same thing when you go to Mexico, like, don't drink anything with ice in it. I'm a wine drinker, so that probably helps. like, everything you eat has to have steam on it, be hot.
Yeah.
And, like, no salads, nothing. Like, if you're going to eat fruit, you got to peel it off. Like, you got to really be careful. I remember I got sick in Mexico. And
yeah, me too.
That took me like 3 months to get out of my system. Mm-hmm. In terms of just not feeling right.
Yeah, go check it out. Season 2, episode 16 of West Wing. Talk about the shady maps. one of my favorite episodes. I want to go to Kenya. That's where I want to go. I used to, when I was writing a book, I was in Starbucks a lot. And I did a lot of it from Starbucks. And there was this woman from Kenya who was there. And we started talking. We ended up being cool. And she used to always tell me about Kenya. And just by her description alone, I was like, I want to go to Kenya.
I want to start. About the Kenyan coffee or something like that. I thought that's what you're going to say.
Nah, she was just like, man, it's beautiful. She was just telling me about it. And I was like, you know, I actually know what I want to do in Kenya, because she told me. So that's kind of
all right. So what country do people tell you you're from? Because I know y'all must get this. I get this all the time.
Well, I did that thing.
What's that? The 23andMe thing?
Something similar to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What did it say?
And it said Benin.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It also said I was part Irish.
Well, you might be.
I always get Middle East because of my hair.
Okay. Okay.
People always think.
I've been, everybody.
When I was coming up, they was like, what, you Arab or something?
Oh, that's
what
I used to get all the time. Not from white people, from African people.
African people. They don't tell me nothing.
I've been Eritrea forever. Eritrea forever.
Hey, but you know, here's the difference. And I think I could bridge the gap with this. Marcus, I never really met a lot of African people until I went and played basketball at the University of D.C. for a year. And so, like what Marcus is talking about, being in the Bay Area, they ain't nearly as many Africans here as there are on the East Coast.
Yeah, right? Yeah, sure.
So
sure.
As soon as I played at the University of D.C., I had teammates from Central Africa, Senegal, Nigeria, Central Africa, and Ethiopia. Like, that's when I first was starting to get more familiar with Africa and people that are from there, and the vast differences between African Americans and African, but also the similarities at the same time.
Yeah.
And how we view each other. There's some deeper stuff to that conversation.
Too, yeah, but they ain't like us. When I was in high school, we had a few Africans. We used to be, they ain't like us at all.
Yeah.
They was like, that's the part I knew until I got to college, but they were like, yeah, nah, bro, we're not the same.
So my point is, you were probably around Africans basically your whole life in DC, DA, where one would say that you were probably from Eritrea or Ethiopia, where me and Marcus, it was growing up. Like, that was
from East Oakland.
Yeah.
You from East Side San Jose.
I got you. Yeah.
No, I did have a guy come up to me in Seattle once and ask me if I was from Dominican Republic.
Hmm.
I said, nah, I've been there. I've been there a few times, but I
exactly.
Yeah.
Man. Well, man, have a good trip, man. Be safe and have a good trip.
See, I like this conversation. We ain't talking about hoop at all.
No.
I can just like talk to you guys about life, man.
We hoops talk adjacent about. For a reason.
Okay. I'm digging this. You guys can call me every week.
Well, to bring a little hoop into it, I was interviewing Jonathan Kuminga, and I was talking about something. And I was like, well, that's just, you know, because you're black. And he was like, African.
Yeah, African. Right.
I made a point to tell you that.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm African. I was like, my bad, G. My fault. You in the diaspora.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you can't mess around with that. Now, it's definitely different now. We come from a ridiculous privilege being in the States. I understand that. So you have to appreciate that. All right. So I want to sully this with a little bit of basketball before we let you go, man. We got to talk about. Well, go ahead.
Man, I'm cool. Go ahead.
No, I know. I'm just
I know we're supposed to get started.
Let's go.
We've been just talking for a while.
Let's go.
Dude,
I'll pack later.
Dude, I got to talk to y'all. I want to know. Dude, I'm telling you. Y'all saw what Iverson tweeted about Ja last night.
Yeah, right? I did.
And it was so on point to me because that's exactly who I think about when I see Ja play. Yeah. I think he is the... He brings, it's not even that their games are similar because they're not really, but it's
that
more
kind
about,
of excitement.
Yes, the anticipation. Man, I got to stop what I'm doing and watch this kid hoop for a couple of hours. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? I'm going to say I was in that camp before it really got started.
Yeah.
ESPN Plus was showing his games in college, right? When ESPN Plus just started.
Yeah.
So, like, Murray State games were, like, hard to find.
Right.
Really, really hard. But they were – all of them were on ESPN Plus. So, I was constantly watching him in college. And I was watching him, and I'm like, this dude is nice, right? Like, he's spectacular. He's exciting. And I'm like, it's going to translate. I don't care where he's playing. It's going to translate.
Right.
And, you know – one thing I think that's really interesting about him, and I've gotten to know his father really well, is he's not only athletic and exciting and a great scorer, tough and all that, but his basketball IQ is actually off the charts. There are times during the game where Jaren Jackson will turn to him and say, "What do you see?" And he breaks down what he sees from the game, not for himself, but for Jaren or for another teammate. And he watches film with his dad after every game. Or when he goes on the road, they'll come back and watch film. And it's been something that they've done together since junior high, that he's watched film. And so he also texts with the coach on a regular basis. And the coach are really close. They talk to each other about other teams, other plays. So there's I think, mental aspect of him that makes him special. So when you look at, like, the dunk was amazing, right? But the play to me that stood out in that game yesterday against San Antonio is the Adams cross-court pass. And I'm like, they must have practiced that.
Right.
But just the ability to catch a ball in the air and shoot it with 0.4 seconds.
Yeah. It's
incredible.
Yeah. I'm always amazed at the ability of NBA players to get square in that type of situation. Because anybody can catch a ball and heave it at the basket. Yeah. But to get squared up to the point where if you shoot it, it might go in. To me, it's like, it's that same reaction. It's that same reflex a cat has when they land on their feet. Yeah.
Ballet like dancer.
No matter where they start, they wind up where they're supposed to be. You know, like, it's crazy to me to have that kind
and
of body control.
He's doing it like 10 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Right? He's doing it.
Yeah.
In the air. I mean, that's it's ridiculous to me how he just jumps. Like, Jordan used to do that, jump and then decide, right?
Yeah.
Like, Ja will jump and then figure out what I'm doing while he's in the air. But like you're saying, Spears, his ability, like, you could watch him adjust mid-game. He will literally change his approach, which he's pretty young to be doing, right? And it doesn't bode well for the rest of the league that if he can figure out when it's that, yo, I'm just going to hit this, I'm going to get to this dotted line, and I'm going to hit this push floater, and I'm going to do it 1,000 times until your big man come out. And then when he comes out, then I'm going to continue to the rim, right? Like, the fact that he is figuring out these levels already, you know, normally it is you dominate doing your thing and then the league adjusts and then you got to figure out how to do it. But he's doing it on a fly, which is, it's crazy. It is all IQ. It's a lot of, like, cerebral and reading the game. He's a super smart player.
And I'll tell you this about him. This was my knock on Ja before, right? As spectacular as he was his first two seasons, and he was rookie of the year, he never averaged over 20 points his first two seasons. He's averaging 27 now.
Right.
So not only can he be potentially MVP, but you could put him up for most improved player too. Like, he's improved his average by 8 points per game.
Right.
8 points. And they're finally getting him, like, touches. Like, this first two seasons, he averaged around 15 shots a game. Now he's getting 20. You know, he's averaging the same amount of 3-point shots, but he's also, you know, getting to the line more. But then the other thing that's cool about him too is, like, he likes making sure it's a team thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just enjoying this for me. I'm not, you know, it ain't just with all love to Wilt Chamberlain standing in a locker holding 100 sign. No, he bring the whole team. Like, this is where we did this as a team.
Yeah.
Celebrate as a team. And
they really do it as a team, though.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't a show. Like,
yeah.
That pass from Steven Adams, right?
Yeah. And it's funny. It's funny. I don't mean funny in any type of, like, I'm laughing at New Orleans. That's not what I mean. It's just funny that New Orleans kind of was, I don't know, kind of gifted Zion Williamson. Like, it just came out of the blue. Like,
and, oh, you call it a frozen envelope? Is that what you're saying happened? Is that?
Oh, no, he I'm just not said
David Aldridge just said.
No, I'm not that's saying.
That's what it sounded like to me.
I'm just happy that Memphis, which is a very small market team, has not just, he is a superstar. He is like a good all-star caliber player. And
continue.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a superstar that can be their superstar for 12 years, you know?
And he likes being in Memphis.
And he likes being in Memphis, right.
Like, he...
Because he went to Murray State and he came out the mud. You know what I'm saying?
He's from South Carolina. Like, he fits that city. He is grit and grind.
Yeah, but this is next level grit and grind.
He's also the first guy the Grizzlies have had, if you go back, like, that's, like, been athletically amazing. Like, you got an older Vince Carter, I guess.
Right.
Michael Dickerson, maybe. Right. Maybe Strowman.
Mike Conley was athletic, but not
Tony
like this.
Allen was a great athlete too. It was just confined to defense. But Tony Allen would bang on you, but he's nothing like
but, nothing
but,
like this.
But they got the older Tony Allen. You know what I mean? They got the older Vince Carter. You know, maybe Rudy Gay a little bit, but nothing like this.
Nothing like this.
This is like Dr. J athleticism and,
no question,
you know, elite athleticism and just box office. They've never had a box office guy that sold jerseys.
You know what I really love about Ja, though? Like, the part that really love about him, he is already really good at balancing trash talk and respect. Like, he will let you hear it, but he will also tip his cap.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, that to me, I like that. I like that he is going to come for you. Like, if you're an all-star, he is going to try to come for you.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he's going to be like, yo, like, I grew up looking up at that dude. Like, I respect that. Like, and so he has a way of challenging the current guard while also respecting him. And I just, you don't see it that often, right? Even in your mind, like guys like Anthony Edwards, right? Like
they're he's like Black Jesus.
Destroying all of you. You guys can't see me.
Right.
And he kind of needs to be in that mental space to dominate like that, right? Like that's how they, like Draymond, he's got to go all out.
Right,
he can't be partial away. But Ja's like, oh yeah, Steph, you incredible. But I'm coming for
you. I'm coming for your neck.
But you are incredible, man. You're great. But I'm coming for you. You could just see him. You could see him like work that out on social. So I just love that part about him. He ain't scared of nothing. He coming for you. And then when you get him, he's just like, yo, no, that man's the truth, right? Which is why it makes sense that Iverson love him, because Iverson is like the epitome of that. Loves everybody.
Former
and also
Grizzly,
is trying to destroy
former
you.
Grizzlies guard.
Former Grizzly AI, right? Like,
hey, when we're doing that 30 for 30 on the Iverson year, months, week in Memphis. Hey,
there's enough. There's enough in those 2 weeks to do a nice documentary on it. Trust me. Get in, Lytle Hollins, Mike Colley, OJ.
Oh, my God.
Lytle
will still look at you funny when you mention them days. Yeah. Plus, I like, you know what I like about Ja? Ja got tore up on the flight down up to All-Star and then cop to it and then comes to the press and says, yo, y'all have a drink for me tonight because I can't do it tonight. That was funny. Yeah. That was so funny that he just was like, yeah, I know. You know, like, he wasn't defensive about it. You know what I mean?
I'm glad, too, that his rookie year, he was like an awful quote.
Yeah. Well, he had to work really hard to get something out of him.
Yeah, he had to get something out of him, and he didn't really get it. And then in the bubble, I got to know him a little bit, you know, definitely got to know his dad. And now I think he's like, all right, let me get out of my shell. I'm funny. I got a personality. Like it's time for the world to see it. And so now like this whole season, it's almost like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen the growth closely the last 2 years, and he's embracing Memphis. He's embracing stardom. He's embracing his voice. I don't know if he's a guy that becomes one that uses his platform at some point. I don't know. That's kind of his style. Maybe in time it will be. And then he's like a good teammate, good father. Like there's a lot to love about him.
Yeah. This is great to see. I'm just happy that city has somebody and can continue the good basketball, because I don't want to disparage grit and grind. That was a successful winning formula for a long time down there. But this league is all about superstars. I mean, it always
I
has
thought they
been.
Was headed to Seattle while we playing.
You know, I mean, it could have been. You know, it very well could have been. Gone. You know, but now you can say, hey, we got...
Now it's New Orleans.
Hey, man, don't say nothing about New Orleans,
My man.
All right, so the question is, we saw what the Grizzlies did last year in the playoffs. Should Golden State and Phoenix be like, yo, well, we don't want to see them second round?
Well, Golden State, and Marcus is very familiar with this, is floundering. They were 5-5 in February. Since Draymond stopped or got hurt, they've been 14-9. Of the eight teams in the West, nobody's playing as low as they're playing right now. So I asked, Marcus was in the room the other day, I asked Steph about losing a game that could have helped them get closer to Phoenix. And I actually should have asked him about losing a game that got Memphis to be closer to them.
Right.
You know, and Utah to be closer to them. And so it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that Memphis could be the number two seed. And I'll tell you what, if they get home court advantage, there it's rowdy in there. They playing whoop that trick. They've had a lot of bent up energy in that building. Like people don't respect them. That place is going to be a tough place to play, man. That like along with a team that's like Scooby-Doo's kids, man, like they're pesky kids, man. They're not supposed to be there, but they believe they should be, and they're not scared of anybody. And we might have to get used to being on Bill Street a little bit.
Dude, I'm fine with that.
I don't care. I don't care if they finish as the third seed and the Warriors have home court advantage. they still
they don't want to see.
Still don't want to see.
They don't want to see him.
I mean, look, if anybody is fine with it, it's the Warriors, right? They've seen everything, like right. Steph, Draymond, they've seen it all. But I don't care if that team has home court advantage or not. They're gonna be a problem. Like, you're gonna have to beat Memphis. Like, they ain't gonna give it to you. They ain't gonna be scared. They ain't gonna not be ready for the moment. You're gonna have to lay them down. Like, that's Memphis Grizzlies basketball, right? Yeah. You're going to have to lay them down. It won't be like a judgment call. You know, like, you gotta in UFC, man, you can submit somebody.
Go to the scorecard.
Or you go to score. Ain't no scorecards with them. You're gonna have to submit them, dude. You gotta beat them. And I want to see that series just because I know that's what Draymond lives for, right? Yeah. I was there when it was Warriors against Grit and Grind and they were down 2-1 and we was at Blue City Cafe. Like, man, I bring that back because it was lit, yo. It was, you know what I'm saying? Now you throw Ja in the mix on that? Like, what?
And Nick Uren came up with an idea.
Yeah, right. How about we guard Tony Allen with Andrew Bogut?
Changed everything. Yep.
We kicking it on Bill Spears is happening.
Dude, yeah. It's going down. I love this.
Their restaurants stay open late.
Go get some barbecue, man. Oh, I'm good. Let's do it. Yeah.
That's just a hard place to get to.
It's not easy. It's not easy to get to Memphis. It's true. That's when
making it worse. My mom is in Little Rock.
Oh, so you guys.
So it's hard to get for the Memphis, and it is harder to get to Little Rock. Right?
Yo,
it's like,
bro, I was in New Orleans, and I had to go Dallas or Houston to get there. They don't have a direct from Atlanta
or something, right? Yeah.
Atlanta
was the one. Yeah, Delta.
Yeah. Like, dude, see, they used to have all the when Northwest Airlines was in business, you could get to Memphis easily because that was their hub, and they had like eight flights a day. Hey, you know,
I bet you, I know one airline that's gonna have a direct experience that you ain't gonna get on.
Oh, the SW.
Spirit.
Oh, hell no!
Come on, man, get on.
Nah, man, I went on Spirit one time on a desperation New Year's Eve trip to Las Vegas. And the only flight going back to Oakland was on Spirit. And I was like, short flight, whatever.
It's 50 minutes.
it's an hour. And the only time I've ever been in a flight, internationally, locally, I don't care, where the flight attendants got off the plane before I did.
Wow. They just said, to hell with you.
Yeah. Hey, Marcus, you'll laugh at this. And
she's like, she'll get mad at me for saying that. But she's like a flight attendant. I was like, who you work for? She goes, Spirit, don't say nothing. I was like, all right, I won't.
Good thing you didn't tell nobody.
Yeah, right?
I did the same thing. I had one desperation flight on Spirit. But we were in Houston. It was from Houston, too. Remember, it was a storm in Houston that year. The Warriors were there. We got caught in the storm, and one flight was leaving, and it was my anniversary.
Well, you had
I was trying
back.
To get home for my anniversary, and I was like, "Of course, y'all the one flight that's leaving." But I didn't even know you had to pay. Like, you know, you buy the flight, and then you got to pay for bags. Right. So I'm like, "What?"
Right.
So I just bought the flight. I didn't know it. It was like, "All right, you know, you ain't pay for these bags." I'm like, "Pay for my? What do you mean?"
Yeah,
you had to pay
for carry-ons and whatnot.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Corona-operated bathroom. Like, you know. Like you had, like you're on Fisherman's Wharf. You got to pay to go to the bathroom.
aren't you curious, like, who runs Spirit Airlines? Who says this is a good business? You know what I mean?
Hey, man. Same people that, like, get on Greyhound, right? Like, they got to get on somehow.
Damn. Oh my God! Yeah.
That's funny.
So
there's levels.
I know.
Right?
There are definitely levels.
Right, so remember this lady saying I was complaining about something about Southwest, and she's like, "Well, you know, there's one way to change this." I'm like, "How's that? You can fly private." Like, yeah, give me my A25 ticket. I'm sorry. There's levels, man.
You'll sit in row 17 and like it.
Why'd she put you in your place like that, dude? Like, she was right, though. Pocket, right? Dude, you got to get
business select next time, bro. Come on, man. Spend that extra $12 and get business select.
Oh, no, I do that. I know all the Southwest trips.
You know, you got to get so you can get that A5 and get in that exit row, man. Like,
get the business select, or you show up and pay the $20 when you get there, get A1.
Oh, yeah, get it. Oh yeah,
you know that trick.
That $20 is clutch, baby. Oh, Hook it up.
Just take this 20.
I slide him an extra $5 on the cool.
Get that higher number.
Yo, give me that A3. Give me that A3 now.
Don't spend it all in one place. Yeah. There you go.
You can't even get peanuts on Southwest no more. They give you pretzels.
They got nothing. They get nothing. You get nothing on Southwest now. But that's everybody. You get a cup of water, basically. That's what you get. Yeah. Which is why
they do have community coffee.
They have community coffee?
Which is like a big New Orleans coffee. So I respect that.
Oh, Southwest does?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll remember that, Nick. I will actually get a cup of coffee from now.
Yeah, they got
community. Sound like we need to pool our money together and get Soul Plane cranking. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Show them how to do it. All right, you know what I'm saying?
Next time we're all flying to Memphis for the conference finals, maybe we can exchange some notes.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It'll be on Southwest Airlines, probably. Well, I don't know.
I ain't flying there. Delta. No.
Is it Delta? Does Delta fly? I guess they do.
I ain't going that far on that airline.
Yeah, Delta fly, man.
On the Airbus. No, I'm cool. You know how much anxiety I get getting on that airplane where they give you I don't have the side seat. I'm 6'6 and a big dude.
It's horrible. That's why I get that business
select. You
gotta
get there early.
Why can't I just have... Can you just give me my seat?
Can you just give me a seat?
Why we gotta play Russian roulette?
All middle seats. Excited, think about you all the time. Yes, I can't wait to see you, baby. You've really messed up my mind. You're so fine, wanna hold you all the time. Oh, hey, so we had, me, so I was with my wife and daughter, right? My daughter was like, maybe 12. And, you know, obviously they don't really travel that much with me. But they were with me, so I'm like, hey, man, we got to get there early with Southwest. You know what I'm saying? You can't miss your boarding time. So, of course, you know, because that's what they do. We end up late, you know, barely making the flight. They call our name. We get there. B31.
And, man, hey, bro, we was like refugees, man. We had to send our 10-year-old, like...
By herself.
We're going around.
Yeah, Rose ahead of you.
Like, yeah, I just want you just sit in front of me. I want to be able to see you. She's like, Daddy. She's like, looking up, like, you going to be all right, baby.
Ain't nobody switching. Don't see
you. Ain't nobody switching. Yeah. I'm going around paying. Like, can you think I can get your seat? Can we swap seats up? She's only 10. Like, it was a traumatic moment, man. We split up. The family. I'm like, it's. Are you sit up there so we can watch you? My wife is like holding on to her head at the last minute, like
hold up the throw up bag if something's wrong. So we can see. That's your
player. I hate you, Daddy. I hate you.
They out here breaking up families on Southwest.
Margaret's like, I tried to tell y'all.
I told y'all we got to get here on time. Now you sitting by yourself between two strangers.
When I get on that plane, man.
Oh, dude, that's why I don't mess around with Southwest. Southwest, I'm 4 days ahead of time. I'm getting that business select. I'm not messing around.
No, I'm only, if I'm going to LA, I'll go there. I got a trip to Portland coming up. I'm taking Alaska.
Alaska.
No,
nice.
No, what I'm saying is I'm leaving from Oakland and my choices were like Southwest and Alaska.
I
ain't really using no Alaska points.
Right.
Fly to Alaska that
That's
day.
That's the problem. Yeah. That day you shouldn't fly.
Fly to Alaska that day.
All right. There's three people still listening to the podcast. Listen to us complain about airline travel. First world problems. Oh,
they with us, man. They with us on this. Yeah. They with us on this.
Southwest Anxiety. That'd be a rap group name, right? Southwest Anxiety.
The New Mexico Association will come after us with defamation. Yeah. Like, the El Paso United.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, look. Mark, have a great trip. Godspeed. Tell Gallo I said, what up, man?
And bring me something back, man.
You drink coffee?
Wristband or something. Yeah, man. Yes, I drink coffee. I drink coffee like you drink wine.
Well, I drink coffee and wine the same.
Okay. Well, we got...
Jeez.
Is oh,
you better
whole bean or grinder?
Either one. I got the grinder.
Okay, yeah, I'll bring a whole bean.
One. I ran into Mutombo's business partner at All Star. He's got the new coffee joint.
Yo, his coffee is really good.
It was good. It was good. They were selling, you know, they were handing out cups.
Banana pudding one?
I did not try that. I did not. But it was Marcus, good. The one that I drank, it was good.
That banana pudding coffee is life changing. Mutombo's.
Yeah, Mutombo's got some new coffee. He's got coffee. He's starting in the States.
It's really good. It's really good.
I don't know about no banana pudding coffee, though. I don't even like banana pudding.
He has chocolate fudge.
He's got all the flavors.
Yeah, he got all... He got all the flavors we like.
He got all the flavors.
You know what I'm saying?
He got Kool-Aid flavor coffee.
Dude, he got watermelon.
Praline.
Fried chicken and watermelon. Then we talking.
I'll let y'all go off on that one. Pralines and cream.
I thought it was pralines. It's pralines? I don't know.
Listening to the guy from there.
I'm admitting I'm wrong. He doesn't know pralines all these years. If it's pralines, I'll say pralines. Okay.
New Orleans, they call pralines.
Cinnamon bun, dark chocolate caramel.
Hey,
cinnamon eggnog. Oh, he got red velvet cake. We on. Red velvet cake.
He got red velvet cake.
Oh, yeah.
Cake
Southern coffee. Pecan. Oh. Yep. Sea salt caramel mocha.
That's mine. Sea salt caramel mocha. I'm on that.
Rich.
Yeah,
rich
sugar high man. Drinking his coffee.
Right? He got Linzer cookie. Yeah, right. That's crazy. Cinnamon bun. Come on, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Red velvet. You know we get down for some red velvet. Don't we?
I'll bring you some Senegalese coffee.
I want some of that hard stuff. I want some of that stuff that you
have
you
take a sip, you
gotta beat your chest. You know what I'm saying?
You wait for 4 days.
Exactly. Four days. Go fight a bull after you drink that coffee.
You know what I'm saying?
Four days.
Yeah.
Right. Moses Malone flavor coffee.
I know Jay's like, what is going on here? Why did we bring this guy on?
That's what happens when you put three big Negroes together. That's what happens. Yeah.
Hoops adjacent, baby.
All right, listen to this podcast. Give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere you hear this fine American podcast. Marcus, if they won't want to leave that 5-star review, what do they need to do?
They need to drink some red velvet cake. Coffee from Mutombo and get their life together and quit hating because we a 5-star show. Anything less than that, you need to change your life.
Try to decaf. We out.
All right.
Rebound by Adams, his sixth. Moran, closed by Primo. Attack. Clear the defensive glass. Oh,
God, Look at this. Partner, take an elbow sandwich as I get to the rim.